dangling the gap, extending control, a buckle and bump, redirect your force.
Hey everybody, this is E.T. and Aaron Barr.
Hey guys.
From the Jiu-Jitsu Geeks podcast, and today we have one of the biggest names in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in the world. We're so excited. We got Gordo.
And big fan that we are excited about these last two. We had we're lucky enough to have Nino at Gustavo Machado's seminar last time, and we're back at Gustavo's for another great seminar, but this time with Gordo. So we're very honored to have you. Thank you for a great seminar. It was good stuff, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Second one I've been to in YouTube and Gordo's, and it was great.
So. Always great. Thanks, yeah. Gustavo, for hosting this seminar.
Yeah, man, more than welcome, man. Yeah, more than welcome. It's always good to have you guys around. You guys are part of the family anyways, you know?
Great. Well, Gordo, obviously, as you guys know, if you listen to our past podcasts, that we are in Virginia. And Gordo, you're in Virginia for a special reason besides the seminar. Let's back up. Let's let you introduce yourself. And for folks who don't know, maybe who you are, give us a history and you know.
My name is Roberto Lima, Gordo. Mm-hmm. Is my nickname. I'm teaching jiu-jitsu for 21 years. Wow. I started jiu-jitsu when I was 15. Now I'm 41. And I always traveling to ask to compete or to help someone in the tournaments. And this time I came to Virginia, mm-hmm, again to Fairfax to help my student Rafael dos Anjos. He fought in UFC last Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And he won one more time, and I'm very happy. Then always when I come to this area, I come to visit Guga, my friend and longtime friend and my student, and I always come to his academy and teach here a little bit and help him how I can in his academy.
Great. Thank you. That was a great fight, that UFC last Tuesday. That was a great win for Jiu-Jitsu and for all of us. Yeah. We feel like he's part of the family.
Yeah, it's very, very, very special fight. He just moved to California like 3 months ago, and I came 15 days before the fight to help him. But I saw how he's still training hard. He always training hard. He have a good partner training here too in California. And that's it. We wait for the next one.
Who's he training with in California?
And he trains in
a couple places.
He training in Black House, where some guys from Brazil training, mm-hmm, Anderson Silva, some guys. He also training Kings with Rafael Cordeiro, with Renato Babalu, Vanderlei Silva. Mm. And he training wrestler in school with a really good coach.
How long have you trained him?
Rafael dos Anjos here with me for probably 8 years.
Oh, okay.
8 years ago he started with me. He come from academy of my friend from Belo Horizonte in Brazil, and he was a black belt, but he started MMA with me.
Okay. So he was just a jiu-jitsu fighter when he came to you, and you transitioned him into the mixed martial arts.
He was a Brazilian champion in purple belt, I think, or brown belt. And he is very good in jiu-jitsu, but then he started his MMA career.
Correct. His career. Yeah. I want to get into your history of how you started jiu-jitsu, but now that we're talking about Dos Anjos and him coming to you, I have a question. What is the difference? How do you train a guy that's a jiu-jitsu fighter versus somebody who's fighting in MMA? How do you teach them the jiu-jitsu for MMA as different than somebody who's training jiu-jitsu just to compete in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, it's very different. Because MMA now, like, all people know everything. Anyone now knows jiu-jitsu. Then if you have just a good jiu-jitsu, you are unable to compete in MMA in high level. You can do like small events, but high level UFC, you need to know everything. Then when Rafael comes, he almost know just jiu-jitsu. He start doing some some Muay Thai class and some boxing, and he loved it too much, and he started to train hard, like boxing a lot with Cesario in Brazil and training Muay Thai too. And especially the reason, probably the biggest reason to him to move to here is a wrestler. Because in Brazil, we don't have like really good wrestler. He has a friend help him in Brazil, the guy teaching my academy, Léo Lustosa. But he's good for Brazil. But the level in USA is
a little higher.
Mm-hmm. And Dos Anjos moved to here to wrestle. But because his box okay, his Muay Thai okay, his good jiu-jitsu is very good. But the difference between him and another guys, he always looking for something better for him. Mm-hmm. A time ago he went to Singapore to train with guys from Thailand to learn Muay Thai from the Thailand.
Right.
You know, now he moved to here to learn more wrestling, and he always looking for something better.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to transition a little bit to your academy. Where is your academy in Brazil?
My academy in Rio, Barra da Tijuca.
Yeah.
I'm teaching there I'm living there, mm-hmm. and I'm always teaching there.
You're teaching there quite a bit. What is, and I saw a video online of, I believe, the anniversary of your academy there. Henzo was in, and a whole group of people.
Yeah.
And it seems like you have a lot of people coming over and training from Dennis Ash with Connection Rio.
Yeah.
What do you have a lot of foreigners coming in to train there? Is that a big part of the academy? Or
yeah, it's now I always have like minimum 10 people from out of Brazil.
Wow.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Always, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have 30.
Wow.
Between 10 and 25 all the year.
Right.
Sometimes more, sometimes less, but always. And it's nice because people come like to learn,
mm-hmm.
but we always can learn a little bit with people too, you know, always have like good guys. We make a lot of friends, and I think they enjoy too, because a lot of guys go and come back and go back to Brazil again, mm-hmm. and stay with us again, and then we see how they enjoy.
Yeah, and that Connection Rio house is pretty close to your academy, right?
Yeah, like, right on the corner, man.
Like is 1 minute walking.
Yeah.
And that's a self-serving question.
Half block from my academy.
Yeah, it's like
people stay there. Awesome. And I live there too. I live one block from my academy too.
Yeah.
And it's like really close to the beach, to the supermarket. We have everything, can walk in to get everything.
Well, Gordo, how did you start in jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
I know that goes back a long way.
Yeah, it's like I grew up in Barra da Tijuca, and my half Gracie is my he studied for me in the kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
Yeah.
And we always as a good friends, and we grew up together, and I live in his house for a while when I was 17.
Okay.
And in 1983, I think, Carlos Gracie Jr. moved his academy from the Copacabana to Barra. I think 1983 or 82. And I was a like surfer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then Halfin, Ryan, Henzo, Daniel, Russo, they always go to academy to train, and I just looking. I like, but I never try, you know. Then one day when I was 15, in 1986, I went to the academy. I met Higan Machado, mm-hmm. in Teresópolis. Then Higan asked, why you don't come to train further? Then I went to train. Higan was one of the teachers in Gracie Barra that time. Then I start training with him, with Carlos Machado, Jean-Jacques Machado, the guys, Renzo, that guy is teaching Gracie Barra. Carlinho always is the master, mm-hmm. the master from the academy, mm-hmm. but I train with that guys. And as I start, I like too much, and I never stop. Never just like when I get injured or something.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever had a job other than jiu-jitsu, outside of jiu-jitsu? You ever had a profession?
No. When I was 16, I have a very good friend. He make surfboards, and I help him just to
shake.
I don't know to do a finish. Because I want to make surfboard for me, then I help him, and he give a discount. But never have another job, different job.
Wow. You still surf?
Yeah. Still went to Indonesia last year.
Oh, just for surfing?
For 1 month.
Nice.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit? We're big, you know, the history of jiu-jitsu. We love to hear the you know, stories from the early days, Baja. We talked to, you know, to you about those last time. What was it like starting there? You know, the first days of Gracie Baja, or Baja Gracie then, right?
Baja Gracie.
Yeah. I mean, what were those early days like? Were there a lot of students there, or was it just, you know?
That time, jiu-jitsu is too expensive in Brazil.
I see.
Like, jiu-jitsu in Brazil, that time, it's almost the same price of a university.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few people doing, and that's why I didn't start before.
Yeah,
because like my mom like work a lot, and I don't have like money to pay the academy. You know, then when he asked me to train, he said, "Oh, you don't need to pay. Come on, you look tough. You can train first. You can."
Yeah.
Then I'm start, but it's like just a few people doing. Just like you know.
Everybody.
Almost everybody who do jiu-jitsu, you know, if you went to a place and have a guy doing jiu-jitsu, you know the guy, and the tournaments is like really small. The biggest tournament that time is like, it's really, really small. Like
right.
Probably 200 people in the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, in all the tournaments. And then that, they probably... It's start growing a lot in Brazil in 1993. Well, have a big Vale Tudo against Luta Livre, Muay Thai, and Jiu Jitsu.
Uh-huh.
Then they have the explosion of the MMA.
Is that what made it grow in Brazil? Because in the US it was the UFC.
Yeah, Jiu Jitsu growing a lot in that time, and MMA starting growing later. Then I don't know when, but then when they start UFC here, Horton Gray start and Royce fighting, then big explosion.
Was there as big of a, I would say as big today, but today you definitely have some sport jiu-jitsu guys, some, you know, like me, I compete in tournaments and I do, you know, every now and again just for fun, but I don't really have aspirations to fight in an MMA fight. Was there a separation back then for jiu-jitsu, for sport, jiu-jitsu for MMA, or was jiu-jitsu just jiu-jitsu?
I think MMA come from jiu-jitsu.
Okay, you know, so I was getting at,
because the Gracie family, they probably create the MMA.
Right.
And the MMA come from jiu-jitsu, from Gracie family, but now it's like totally different.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to be an MMA fighter, you need to come from jiu-jitsu, from Muay Thai, from boxing, or something. And now, like I said before, you need to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to specialize in everything.
Right.
But jiu-jitsu and MMA now is totally different.
Totally different. What about the politics? There seems to be a lot of politics in jiu-jitsu now. I read about it in Brazil and here in the USA. But we talked to Gustavo a few weeks ago, and he was saying that there was team jiu-jitsu and team Luta Livre, I believe did you say it, or Vale?
I mean, on that time, and like Gordo was saying, it's like, you know, I remember it's like, we, not a team, but I mean, like, for example, in the same neighborhood, I remember, like, 93, I was purple belt. So it's like 93, for example, when the time that he was talking about, we knew that, I mean, I was 19 years old, man. You know, you go to a party here, you knew that you're not welcome there, or you were welcome there. You know, you feel like, man. So, yeah, it was a, it was not like a, you know, we knew what, you know.
Right.
Where it was safe, where it was Luta Livre guys only, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Excuse me. But now I think
it's totally different. You know, the guys from Luta Libre, our friends, you know, we meet in the event, in the parties.
Everybody's learning together.
It's self-affirmation, man.
Some people train together, too. Some guys from Muay Thai, from Marco Ruiz Academy, came to my academy like 10 years ago to start training there. And now it's, you know, the politician is a little bit less.
Yeah.
You know, almost not, doesn't have.
Okay. You see you see a lot about your academy again online, and you know, especially through the Connection Rio, and you see some high level jiu-jitsu competitors down there, some of the best in the world. So there's you know, certainly great people coming out of your academy. So I wanted to get your philosophy a little bit on tournament jiu-jitsu, the style that you teach, which I know a little bit about training here, coming to your seminars. But it, what I mean by that is you see different styles right now, going with some of the more traditional, going for a submission when you compete, compared to some guys who have, you know, maybe a 50-50 guard or a Baron Bolo, and some of the newer, you know, stuff that you see. What is your philosophy that you teach to your guys going into tournament? Is it a more aggressive submission style, or?
And I'm teaching jiu-jitsu not for competition. I'm teaching jiu-jitsu like a lifestyle, you know, it's a philosophy. I'm teaching self-defense, I'm teaching competition, I'm teaching everything jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. Some guys, like probably 80% of my students, doesn't compete. Mm-hmm. Just training like a businessman, mm-hmm. like, you know, lawyers, doctors, they come just to train, just to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Dentists.
Yeah. But some guys want to compete and like to compete, and I love compete mm-hmm. competition. And that guys who like to compete, I can help them mm-hmm. because I know how they need to do, because I compete a lot. I know I like to help them, and I have some good guys. I have like Celcinho, 6-time world champion, Braga Neto, 4-time world champion. I have a lot of guys like high level, mm-hmm. and what I like in my academy, I can mix the guys who never compete, but they give a hard time guys to compete. You know, it's right. Like the guys doesn't want to compete, but they are high level.
Wrong with him at the academy. Like,
that's what I think it's important. Some people, like I don't think everybody needs to be like tough. Mm-hmm. But everybody need to, like, who want to be a black belt need to learn mm-hmm. a good jiu-jitsu, you know. Mm-hmm. You need to know everything to be a black belt. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be a champion, but you need to know what you do.
Right. Mm-hmm. You mentioned jiu-jitsu is a lifestyle. And, you know, I certainly see that, you know, once I've really gotten into it, it's all I think about. It's why I get a lot of sleep, why I eat what I eat, mm-hmm. why I do what I do. And, you know, it's pretty much taken over my life, you know, yeah. think about it all the time.
It's a positive taking
over. Yeah, it's very positive.
It's a good obsession to have.
I sleep right, you know, I eat right. Do you go into any of that in your academy?
Because I'm really close to my students, you know, it's like a big group mm-hmm. of friends.
Yeah, right.
And we always talking about
yeah.
like eating well, mm-hmm. don't drink, don't smoke, you know. Mm-hmm. We always talk about this. Of course, not everybody doing, but
right.
I advise them to do
that. I'm learning a lot in jiu-jitsu with Grace Family, with Carlinhos Grace. I'm learning a lot about diets, about everything, you know, mm-hmm. not just technique, jiu-jitsu technique.
Yes, yeah.
I'm learning about many things, and that things help me a lot in my life, you know, and I can teach to my students the same I can teach to my son and my daughter.
We know today, after the seminar, we saw a lot of students, or a few students, get their black belts that have been under Gustavo for a long time. And I'd like to know, what was your experience when you got your black belt? Who gave it to you, and what was the experience like for you?
I got my black belt. Carlos Grace gave my black belt. And it's, I very, very special day for me. I'm like, in that time, jiu-jitsu is like really small. You know, when I get my black belt, doesn't have like Panams, world tournament. The biggest tournament is small tournament in Brazil. Like Brazilian tournaments is really small, and I always compete. I always like, and that time when I get the black belt, I'm teaching before my black belt. I'm start teaching when I was in the end of purple. I'm starting help teach, like I'm starting to be instructor. Then when I get my black belt, I feel like now I can like really, really teach, you know, because now I'm a black belt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Then that's like make me so happy and help me a lot to keep training hard. And that is in the same year I got my black belt, I got married too, and my wife too, to help me to keep my mind straight to training hard and still training and mm-hmm. teaching, because it's not easy to compete and teach at the same time. I knew a lot of guys when they start teaching they quit mm-hmm. compete, you know, and I'm compete for all my life and teaching mm-hmm. and compete with my students at the same time, and it's make me very happy.
Well, we had Nino Shimre on last podcast. We had to ask him about the rubber guard, so we have to ask you, of course, about the half guard. How did that come about?
Did you develop that?
Yeah.
It's a long time ago when I was purple belt.
Uh huh.
I got a big injury in my knee. I broke my ACL.
Did you do that in jiu-jitsu or?
In soccer.
Oh, okay.
Probably jiu-jitsu too, but yeah. the worst one for. I play soccer,
uh-huh.
and then I did a surgery. But that time I doesn't did ACL surgery. I just did the meniscus.
Oh, okay.
Then my knee is always bad.
Yeah.
And I stopped training for 25 days and went to train back. I went back to training, but I cannot use my leg. I cannot move my leg well. Then I start training like in my side with just one leg. I doing guard with just one leg, and that make me start to develop some positions. Of course, with Jean-Jacques, it's my instructor in that day, and of course he helped me a lot. Like,
yeah,
because I doing something, he teach me something. I'm start doing then, but. Like I said before, I always compete and I have a good position in the competition. I won a lot of competition and I'm doing a lot of half guard.
Mm-hmm.
And because this, I think people start looking for half guard.
Right.
You know, that's when Roleta doing different things and mm-hmm. he was a champion,
yeah.
people start looking. You know, people always looking for someone doing good, you know.
Yeah.
Then, but in that time, I think change a lot of people start doing half guard and a lot of people doing well in the half guard, and jiu-jitsu like this, one people start doing, the other one start doing, and you start to defend that thing and the other one start to, and it's growing.
So you're planting the seed. Yeah. You like planting the seed.
Half guards are part of game, everyone need to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I can't even imagine, I mean, starting when I started jiu-jitsu,
half guard was a just defensive position. You go to the half guard and you pass the guy.
Because
don't have, like, the only thing the guy on the bottom doing before,
replace
the guy.
Scoot the leg back.
They don't have sweep, they don't have any submission
from
that.
Yeah,
just replace.
Oh my gosh.
So you developed it because you had to, because of the surgery.
Yeah, you can't close that guard.
Close. I cannot, I don't want to replace, I want to stay there.
Yeah.
Then I start to develop how I go on top from there.
That is just, I mean, amazing. Because, you know, when we started, I mean, probably the first day I walked in, I probably learned something about that.
Yeah. I can't imagine jiu-jitsu without the half guard.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
Yeah.
It's a major part of it. Well, you know, we're here in Gustavo's academy, so I'd like to hear a little bit about your guys, your history together. How did you start training together, and how did that student relationship begin? So both of you, the question to both of you, how did that start?
We grew up in the same neighborhood, like I said. He grew up in the bar too. He, like, 4 or 5 years old, 5 years less than me.
Younger than him.
Yeah. He's the age of my younger brother.
Yeah.
And when he comes to the academy, probably I'm one of the graduate guys from Grace Bar. And he,
Jean-Jacques was there.
Yeah.
You were brown belt. Yeah.
I'm brown belt.
Yeah. I started in 88, 89, and Gordo was brown belt. Just recently, probably brown belt. No, brown belt, and Soneca was brown belt too. Yeah. There was a few guys up there, but Jean-Jacques was the teacher. You know, I went to Jean-Jacques' academy. It was like, which was after, I guess, like Jean-Jacques left the academy, Carlos Academy, and then all these guys, they were there, you know. But me and Gordinho, his brother, he just took me there. We skipped class one day, we went over there, and Gordo was there. Everybody was there, like, man, these guys. Because I already knew of Gordo, like, you know, growing up in the same neighborhood. I'm looking up to him all the time. Yeah. He's always been, you know, like there for me, you know, my whole time, you know. With good times and bad times, you know.
Right.
So it's, you know, it normally, he naturally went to that route, you know what I mean? He's like, man, that's the guy that, you know, not all the time the guy that has the star on the side.
Yeah.
He's the guy that you can look at to him much, you know. When you look at the guy, they really, you know, the guy can, you know, help me, and I always had a really good relationship with everybody anyways, but with Gordo, yeah. Gordo was always pulling me on the side, you know, him and Ralph too. Ralph was, I remember Ralph when I was a blue belt, Ralph was pulling me to the side, and I really liked the full guard, arm bars from the full guard, you know, on the bottom.
Ralph was good.
Yeah, and Ralph was like my example. I was like, man. So these guys, they start to prep me to have that type of arm bar that Ralph was. Brown belt too, like Gordo, you know, and I was blue belt, so I was like, man, looking up to these guys, you know. Oh, man, I don't even know, it was just crazy, you know.
Right.
Crazy.
Well, just out of curiosity, you know, mm-hmm. we know a lot of guys in your academy now that are top rising MMA stars and jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. guys. Who, can you give us some names of people to look for that maybe we don't know about yet?
In the future, yeah.
Yeah, future guys, mm-hmm. can you...
Man, I have two guys, one almost kids. They are like Rafael Pereira, he's purple belt now. And he come doing good in the purple belt. And he just won the Brazilian tournament like a month ago, and he come to he got second in the Panams. He got third in Abu Dhabi. He won the Brazilian in like 3 months, and now he come to the Worlds. I think he's gonna go to the podium for sure. I don't know which place, but he's gonna be good. He's very good. He trained very hard. He's a very like good kid. And also I have another one, Bruno, who was a world champion last year, blue belt. He's 17, and he did a surgery in his wrist in like a month ago, and he doesn't compete this year. But I'm sure. Like he gonna be like one of the best. Bruno and Rafael, this guy's amazing.
You can tell just by their potential now at such a young age.
It's crazy. Man.
And I know like they have a like his family support too. They support. They know. I know they gonna be good fighters.
That helps a lot too. You know, like that's what he's saying. It's like, man, you have a guy that the teacher is saying, well, yeah, he's dedicated kid. Train hard, but you know, you don't have support or the family, it's hard, you know.
Right.
Have the support of the family behind you, man, that's so much better, you know.
Well, I think some families maybe see jiu-jitsu as a hobby,
yeah,
and they don't realize that there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, man, a lot of potential.
Yeah, when I start, man, my mother never want I'm be a teacher or fighter. She want to now go to the university and do something, man. But I want to teach you. No, but it's not a job.
If you hurt these, you know, then what are you gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah.
And now she she knows it's mm-hmm. I'm good, I have my family, I have my kids, and I'm my life is jiu-jitsu, you know? But a long time ago, they didn't realize.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Gordo, we were talking that you're headed out to California. So what are you headed? What are you headed out there for? What are you?
I'm back to California.
Uh-huh.
First I'm gonna do one more seminar.
Uh-huh.
In Fabio Polo Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for the Mundial too. I have some students come.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You have some students from your academy.
Rafael come, Renan, Vital, Celcinho probably come. He going to compete in the...
Today
he going to...
MMA.
He going to an MMA fight.
Today?
No, it's a small event in Brazil.
Oh, sorry, okay.
And I don't know if he come to the Mundial, but probably come. If he don't get injured today. And I'm going there to see and mm-hmm. to it's important for me always stay in the big competitions to see what's happening, always have something new
mm-hmm.
and to see the high level jiu-jitsu. Yeah. It's important.
Okay. Well, I have a question. Maybe not all of our listeners will care about this question, but I do, and I know Aaron probably does. We both have young children. I have a son that's 20 months. He has a daughter that's 2 years. Gustavo, I know that you have a young child. My 20-month-old can wrestle a little bit, thanks to me. But, when do you start teaching the tenets or the basics of jiu-jitsu at a very fundamental level, a very small level, so when they get to be 5 or 6, what do you do at such a young age? Or what age you start really teaching them parts of jiu-jitsu? What do you show?
Like really the basic how escape from the mount, how you get a takedown, how you roll, how you
judo.
Almost like judo, yeah, like takedowns, you know,
maybe rolls or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Front roll, back roll,
almost defense of how you defend yourself. The kid you need to defend. They you don't need to show to teach any aggressive position to kids, you know, just defense. Then, and a lot of like, it's important you mix with playing,
right? games.
Yeah. Make it games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. games to make it interesting. Because like three, four, five, 6 years old, if you like do a 1 hour class with training, you need to mix. You need to then push a little bit to fall to know how they roll. That means just basically.
Okay, I appreciate it. I got two of the best guys in the world here. I got to ask them that question.
Yeah. It is pretty weird because that depends on the kid too. You know, like man, we got some kids that they pick things quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, most of the 5 year old, I think the 5 year old is good to start. But maybe half an hour class, not an hour class,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Fundamentals, a lot of attention games, because you're developing the attention skills of an individual that when he reaches 7 or 8 year old or 8 year old, he's already can be in a big kids class, for example.
Right.
Then he is going to have an hour class. So he needs to listen, it's like... learn how to do a proper push-up is important.
Okay.
Learn how to know, is that a sit-up? What is that? No, you're going to learn, sotogari, sasai, double leg, single leg. They learn quick.
Yeah, they do.
Not much on the ground, On the ground, you start developing a guard. You put a kid on the bottom and you say, you don't teach them how to do that young, you don't teach them how to do namba. You teach them how to control people in the guard first.
Okay.
And only here, count until 30. Holding down, switch, hold, So they have that confidence of, if I'm on the bottom, which is the worst thing in a fight, to be on the bottom, apparently, the kid is not going to be that scared if that happens, someday he's like, then you can develop some guard eventually. like Gordon was saying, work the offensive later. You know, the defensive first and the offensive later.
Okay. Great. You know?
Well, I want to thank you both for your time. Seminar, Gordo, Gustavo, for having us back. Gordo, for taking the time to sit down with us, and also Gustavo.
It's my pleasure. So always in Virginia. Have a good time.
Thank you. We're happy to have you. So thank you, guys.
Well, let's give them some plugs before we go. Can you tell us where to find you on the Internet? If anybody wants to find you on the Internet, do you have a website?
I have. It's GordoBJJ.com.
Okay.
And Facebook, Roberto Correa de Lima, Facebook, and Gordo Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay.
That's your Facebook.
Gotcha. And Gustavo, you, sir?
The website here is GustavoMachado.com. Man, it's a pleasure to have you guys around here. You know, plug is just having you guys here.
Now, we appreciate your time.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Until next time, I'm E.T.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will talk to you later.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. So near is my